Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, 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 hello. It's that time again. It's the FSP Crew Showtime. I am your host, JT, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker. Hopefully, Black the Bookie show up. And we may have a, I think I'm going to be calling our sideline reporter at the Thursday night game. Be Mr. Gardner is supposed to be at the Raider-Bronco game, and I'll be calling him shortly to get a taste of what it's like. He already texted me a few things. I'll run into that. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room, which is presently open. What's wrong with my chat room here? Okay, let me close this out and see what happened. Oh, I just froze up. That's not good.
There's a lot of that going around.
I just froze up. That is not good. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, in the meantime, let's bring in my co-host, Jeff the Joker, and get this show rolling. How you doing there, Jeff? What's up?
I'm having my own computer problems, as a matter of fact. I was going to bring that up. That's why sometimes you don't want to wait to the last minute with fantasy because they freeze up on you sometimes. And do you have the experience, I swear I was going to ask you this, when you're on multiple fantasy sites, which frequently I am, I'm on leagues in ESPN, BSPN, and then you got CBS, which stands for Completely Botched Software, and then, of course, there's Yahoo. And when I'm on for all three, which is usually the case, then sometimes I think the computer seems to crash more and whatever. And lately, I've been getting very frustrated with ESPN because it seems to take way too long for just a simple lineup change, just dealing with the drop down. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's aggravating. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't think it should be that difficult being on three fantasy sites at the same time, you know?
I fully understand with you. My computer froze up completely. I may have to reboot it and get back into the site. I can't believe this. I can't believe. Jeff, you wouldn't believe it. I just walked in about 10 minutes ago. I've been super busy all day for the last week, 2 weeks or whatever, and it's been absolutely insane. Due to the superstorm, the work I'm getting now is astronomical. Never enough time in the day, and I'm gonna have to.
The only good thing about that is that's your job security. You know, that's you know what I'm saying? Because when there's no work to do, then you got to worry about getting laid off.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But I've been there. I've been at jobs, I'm not kidding, where you barely had time to use the bathroom. I mean, you were that busy. And
right.
When it's that environment and they don't give you any consideration, that says, oh, screw it, I'm out of here, because Yeah, you're human. You know, you got to make a pit stop once in a while. It shouldn't be held against you. You know.
Exactly. Yes, you're absolutely right about that.
But it's all about my term is consideration. When the employer works with you and they say, hey, we know everything is busy, don't sweat it. We're going to hire a new staff that'll help out, and you know they don't put the screws in you. It's a busy, happy environment as opposed to when you know you're busting your tail from the second you get there to the second you leave, and then they keep hassling you. It's like you see the issues, you see how hard we're working, and why are you bleeding us dry? Why are you working against us, not working with us? You know.
Right. I've seen it,
yeah, but, you know.
I've seen it many a time.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll work this time versus the other times. I don't even know who's on the board. if Black has called or anybody has called in on the board, I can't see it because I'm rebooting my machine right now. There's a few things that we wanted to go through the game. The game that's going on tonight, if you want to call it a game, you got the Denver Broncos who are on the 7-game winning streak against the Oakland Raiders, which seemed like they're on a 7-game losing streak, but they're not. But they're playing that badly. With the thought of Darren McFadden and Mike Goodson supposedly making their return back from several weeks being out, Marcel Reese, who's been a fantasy star for the last few weeks, for the most part, has been dealing with a quad and hamstring injury, and was probably due to all the work that he was getting, which he is normally not getting, didn't get, because he's not that type of back, and it's finally catching up to him, and coincidental, these two guys are coming back, so... I want to get your opinion. Mike Goodson, Darren McFadden, if you had a choice between starting them or sitting them, especially Darren McFadden, not necessarily Mike Goodson, would you start Darren McFadden in tonight's game? Especially, let me premise it by this, especially when in some leagues this is the second week of the playoffs, and a lot of leagues, this is the first week of the playoffs.
And it just further complicates it that it's the Thursday night game, you know.
Right.
It forces you to make a decision 3 weeks early, and that's what makes those games brutal. And I'm glad that I don't have any marginal guys, because some guys just start every week. Some guys you sit every week, but when they're kind of borderline, that's what makes the Thursday night tough. And the thing is, unfortunately, you seldomly get the real truth on injuries. Who knows? Maybe they could have kept McFadden out Thursday to save him up for this game. You know what I mean?
Well,
after this game, they got a couple of extra days rest. And, you know, McFadden's one of these guys. It's a big if. You know, if healthy, he's excellent, but that's been his issue his entire career.
And the thing about it, though, Jeff, that he supposedly kept him out last week, so he would be ready for this week. And who knows if that's the case or not? I mean, you know, it's. I imagine is. Let me see if he's active or not. It's close to game time. I think they put the inactive actives an hour before game time.
About an hour and 15 minutes. About an hour and 15 minutes they post.
Let me see. McFadden back in lineup after missing 4 weeks. So apparently he is going to be playing. Yeah, he's active for Thursday night's game. Okay. I have a dilemma, okay, and I'm probably not going to play him this week, and I probably live to regret it the first week of the playoffs, but I have the luxury of having Jamaal Charles and Arian Foster along with Darren McFadden on one of my fantasy lineups, and on that lineup I can put him in as a flex. but you're able to put in, not flex, and OP. And
right, same thing.
And the OP, you can use any position, including the quarterback.
So that's quite super flex. That's a super flex, they call that.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a choice between Darren McFadden or Colin Kaepernick. That's my choice.
Ooh.
So.
I mean, the thing is, at least Kaepernick is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It'd be nice if you had 3 more days to make that call. You have any other options for your super flex?
You know, in this league, most people, and I usually go against the grain, and I have in this league, most people use a quarterback in that position because the
right,
fact is
right.
it quarterback generates a lot more points.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
So I have two I wouldn't say super quarterbacks, but two quarterbacks that are dual or triple threats. Dual threats: Colin Kaepernick and Robert Griffin III. So I think I'll play him that way. I'll fit the Darren McFadden and wait and see how he's going to do. Because I do have Arian Foster and Jamaal Charles to play. So rather than take a chance on Denver, and Denver's got a tough run defense versus Arian Foster, who's playing New England. New England's got about the 11th run defense, but Denver's got the 7th. And I got Jamaal Charles, who's going against Cleveland, and he should be able to run all over this. And I got on the line from the game, who's texting me left and right that he's been talking to Napoleon Kaufman and shook the hand of Bill Romanowski. He must be slobbering all over himself. We're talking about none other than Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. What's up there, my man?
Ain't nothing. I'm up here at the game. Yeah, I had to sit Bill Romanowski's hand. He's a little bit taller than me, and he stand out a bit. Napoleon Kaufman pulled up in his Lexus, and, you know, I guess the Raiders were doing a special thing for some of their former players this weekend because John Madden and all these other folks are here, and they're commemorating something. I don't know what, but they're commemorating something.
Well, before you called, you should have found out what the hell they were commemorating. Did you buy a program or something to find out what's going on?
No, I ain't spending no $5 on a damn program. I'm up there about to see who's gonna like the I just wanna go ahead and get a damn cheeseburger. That's all I wanna do. I can't even get this one area. This damn place, you gotta have special tickets to get in certain areas. This van only. Anyway, fuck it. I'll just buy a damn hot dog.
Oh boy. Hey, you sound like a kid in a candy store. That's what you sound like.
Well, you know, when I came here in the summer when they played the Lions, it was cool. But you see these crazy fans and whatnot, it's kind of different. You kind of get caught up in it. I've seen Aaron Andrews, though. Oh, my God.
Rick,
the thighs are real. The thighs are real.
Vic, thanks for joining us tonight. Are you enjoying a little bit of the pregame over there in Oakland?
Oh, yeah, of course I am. I'm trying to find a damn cheeseburger right now. But we're on a level, we're like at the top level, and you can't get, you know, good stuff here. Everything's expensive, but it's always getting a hot dog and a pretzel and some nachos for like $50.
So my question is this. You're at the game. And who's at the game with you all?
Me and several of my coworkers. We got some tickets and, you know, decided to come enjoy the game. Thursday night, we're all coming to see Peyton Manning. Now, with some Bronco fans, that can be dangerous. It's going to be really dangerous.
Well,
and we're
besides
on the top, so people might throw us off.
besides yourself, your coworkers, are any of them Raiders fans, or what fans? What kind of fans are?
No. One is a these crazy people. One is a anything but a Raider fan. One is a freaking Steeler fan. He wore his Sixburg T-shirt. There's quite a bit of Steelers fans here too, by the way. Then there's another one that doesn't know football, but he's here because he's supposed to be macho, showing his masculinity. We all know what that means. and my other coworker here, he's just here to get drunk. So, yeah.
Oh my God. You sound like you got a motley bunch there, man.
Oh, I gotta stand up. She's doing this massive anthem. Y'all call me. It seems to my work. Oh, left the cave.
Oh boy.
What's up, man?
Oh
I'll
boy.
I'll drink.
Oh my God. Hey, yeah. I don't know where Black. Oh, Black. You know what? Speaking of the devil, he when he shows up here, we're talking about Black the Bookie. Now we got Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, and Vic Gardner, who's at the Raiders Denver Bronco game on Thursday night. Talk to me, Black. Welcome.
Well, first off, I hate to be referred to as the devil.
I was just saying, I was just mentioning your name. When I looked on the board and you called, that's why I said speaking of the devil. So it was just a figure of speech. Excuse me?
I thought he was already on. I heard him talking to me for a second. Or is it the Raider Nation people that are getting to me already?
No. Before I introduced Black, it was only Jeff and I.
Hey, Peyton Manning looks huge in real life. I'm going to say that.
What's that?
Peyton Manning looks really huge in real life.
Oh, is that right?
About 6'4". I heard he's about 6'4".
Okay,
hold
we
on.
Got... We.
He's 6'4", and his head makes him
6'7".
Yeah. Hey, dude, he looks a little bit 6'7".
Yeah,
they're going to hell with John
Black.
Elway right now.
Black is right. He's got a deformed head. I mean, you know what I mean? He does. I mean, I'm not being mean. In that family, this is scary. Eli is the pretty boy. I mean, Peyton has this huge, funny-shaped head. I mean, I got a big head, but at least it's a human head. And you know what? And if you watch football,
they have the growing fan Elway.
Oh boy. Let me bring in this other caller we have. I think Vic knows this caller very well. Let's welcome my man Mikhail, if I'm not mistaken, is on the line.
How you doing, Jerry? You running the control board tonight?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man, this is a hell of a show. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Man, I just want to say hell to the Redskins. Yeah. That's all I got.
Well, let me put it this way, Mikhail. Your cousin is on the line, and he happens to be at the Thursday night game right now, and he's acting like this is the first time he's ever walked out his door and been in the public.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not. Don't listen to that foolishness.
Okay,
there,
you
in
San Francisco?
Yeah,
he's in Oakland right now. In Oakland Stadium, and he's slobbering all over himself. Very excited to be there. Very excited to be there. I mean, his. You can always tell when somebody gets excited when their voice, especially if it's a male voice, goes about 3 octaves higher than it normally is.
Oh,
hey, what can you say? He's a part of Raider Nation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, they're giving them tickets away. You know. That's why he did. They're giving them tickets away.
It might be John Gruden on the sidelines next season.
Hey, no. You know what? Gruden is smart. He stay right there in the booth because Madden is retired. He can be the next Madden.
Hey. Yep.
What? What? Vic is going off. He's in the sandbox playing with toys now. That's what I think he's doing.
What? No, I'm not.
Man, I love this show. Oh my goodness.
I'm looking at the Rams being introduced right now. They have all of the living Hall of Fame Raider people by the podium where they're going to light the flame and all that. Now they're introducing all these folks that stuff. The stadium, I would say, is about three quarters full on a Thursday night game. And we're thinking about moving down from our current spot.
Well, when you attempted to get those better seats, make sure that you don't get in trouble with the security people and have to be manually lifted out of those seats. So
yeah, and please tell me you got on some Oakland Raider gear out there because they don't be playing around out there, San Francisco or Oakland. They don't be playing.
Oh, no, they don't. They
okay.
Got, half of the stadium, at least behind the Broncos, this is orange, which is crazy, especially for this Raiders, you know, this nation. But I don't know if they're going to fan the crowd or not, but behind the Broncos, this, it's, you know, orange and black, but mainly orange.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to get out of this one. I was thinking I'm going to get off of here. Because I don't want to kill my battery. I bet this punk-ass old dude named Jay Taylor double or nothing. I'm going to whoop his ass this week in fantasy football.
Before you go, I text Mr. Gardner a couple of nights ago to try to get him to make a wager and use the money that he owes me, and we will go double or nothing because we are in the playoffs against each other in the Parlay Palace. And Mr. Gardner got the whatever Kelly Award for scoring the most points. So he's feeling a little cocky about himself. So I decided to say, well, see how cocky you are. You're the number two, three seed, whatever it is. I'm the number six seed. I'm the lowly six seed. Come get some of this. So,
please.
We'll see what happens. Now, he did, when I talked to him yesterday, because I Skyped him yesterday and talked to him yesterday, and he almost punked out on me. Said, let me give me a couple days. Wait a minute. Give me a couple days to think about it. Now, he scored the most points in the fantasy league. He's feeling all about himself. He's been puffing his chest out all year because he's been doing so well in this league. And he comes and says to me, give me a couple days to think about it.
Hey, I got to put the phone down. Give me a second.
I'll keep on talking. That's not a problem.
Just keep on talking, Jerry. The show is better when you're talking, sir.
So I called him out. I called him the P word. I said he had no ball. And eventually he relented and said yes, he would take the wager. So we do have a wager, double or nothing from what he owes me, going the matchup, first round of the playoffs this week. So I wanted to get that out there. One of the things that helped him change his mind about waiting a couple days, I told him I was going to come on his show and call him out. So he didn't want that humiliation and that feeling of inadequacy when I called him out, so he decided to take the wager.
You know what that's all about, Jerry. He knows that you know whenever you come on and you do the show and you know you have a greater grasp for the technical knowledge. He's just inferior. That's all. So don't even worry about that.
I saw this news and it's supposedly breaking news. I don't know if anybody else knows about it, but this is supposedly team sources tell the Union Tribune San Diego that the Chargers owner, Dean Spanos, plans to fire my favorite coach and GM, Norville Turner and A.J. Smith at season's end.
Wow.
According to longtime Chargers reporter, Kevin A.C. Spanos has resigned himself to the fact that Smith can't be kept in the current environment of plummeting performance and fan unrest, and he plans to can both Turner and Smith are already in motion. So supposedly, what the hell is he doing? Anyway,
mute him.
Yeah, you know what? I should mute his ass. Thank you, Mikel. I didn't think about that. I should mute his ass.
You know
anyway.
What? See, I remember the first time I had a beer.
I don't
think
the plan is not fucking with it now.
Let me put it this way. I want your guys' reaction. I mean, you know, anybody who's listened to this show knows how much I have such a love fest for Norville Turner. And this really disappoints me that he's going to get canned along with A.J. Smith. Can anybody give me some feedback on how they feel? We'll start with Black, then Jeff, and then Mikal, and maybe Mr. Kermit the Frog will jump in. Let's go.
Man, well, the writing has been on the wall for a while for my man Norville down there, but I put more of the blame on the GM than Norville, but it's going to be a sad day for me to see both of those guys go, especially my man Norville. Love Norville from the Dallas area. Maybe he picks up another coordinator job. I wish him nothing but the best, but
I'm a
the general manager, he should never be hired anywhere else.
How about you, Jeff?
I have a lot of respect for Norv Turner, and I thought the Chargers would, like they usually do, start to play better in November, but unfortunately that hasn't been the case. And I'm sure he'll have no trouble getting a coordinator job, but this is his third NFL head coaching job. There were, of course, the Redskins and then the Raiders, which at that point the Raiders was a job that nobody wanted. And I don't think too many guys get a fourth NFL head coaching job, but Mr. Turner is very well respected as a coordinator, and he goes way back. He backed up Dan Fouts at University of Oregon back in the early 70s.
How about you, Mikal?
Oh, I'm glad to see him go. I think it was probably a couple years too late. You know, I thought AJ should have just, you know, abandoned ship with him so he could keep his job. I think it's been long overdue.
Hey,
check this out. It's on and popping off and packing lacking. You're
a rapper now?
Yeah. Because he's about to start. I'll do it like this. Again, I'm standing down here. But North Turner, he was a bust in D.C. He was a bust here in Oakland. And if you hear the noise in the background, yeah, we see the sound of the motherfucker. Okay. So, Norv needs to go. That's the bottom line. Dean AJ shot to the hip. Philip Rivers needs to be traded. The whole thing is blown up. There were bad mistakes when they got Ryan Matthews, when they let Lenny Thompson go, when they let Vincent Jackson go. Big mistakes all around. It is time for that whole regime to be blown up and start over from scratch. So that's why I am with it. Guys, I got to go. The game's just started. Have a good show, and then that ass is mine, boy. Oh, hey, man.
Keep sipping that
Jamba
Juice, boy.
Yo, you need to go to more games and do the show because you sound better there. You sound like my damn cousin. Where the hell you been at?
Shut the hell up. I'm watching the football game. Peyton Manning's on the field. Peyton Manning's at work. That's
okay.
Hey, I got my first hands on. I'll check you guys later.
Take care, my man.
Enjoy.
See you later, Kermit. He's out of here. Now we can
get to the good stuff of the show, for real.
Okay. All right. where am I at now here? I'm trying to get myself together here. I'm talking to Jeff off in the beginning. Like I rushed to get here. And I just barely got time to get myself together and get on this show. Let's talk about this. Tonight, unfortunately, the Knicks are playing the Miami Heat without Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if anybody watched the game last night. Near the end of the game, Carmelo Anthony, they were playing the Charlotte Bobcats.
The Pelican.
No, that's the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, is it New Orleans Pelicans?
Yeah. I'm going to get to that, too. They were playing the Charlotte Bobcats, and Bobcats were playing like they were world champions and giving the Knicks fits. In fact, for the most part, they were winning the game in the second half, and the Knicks won the game with a last-second shot, a fadeaway with J.R. Smith. But before that, Carmelo Anthony ran after a ball and fell into the stands behind the Knicks bench and came out, I guess with about a little bit more than 2 minutes left in the game, and came out with a lacerated middle finger on his left hand, not a shooting hand. And he had to leave the game and go back into the locker room and never to return because of he had to get later – found out he had to get 5 stitches in his finger. He was a game time decision. Found out about almost an hour ago that he wasn't going to play. So the Miami Heat, who lost to the Knicks in their Knicks first game by 20 points, now they're playing.
And who also lost to the Wizards yesterday, but continue.
Yes.
Who lost to the Wizards? Really? The Red Hot Wizards.
Yes. they lost to the Wizards. Was it
because RG3 was there or something?
Hey, what can I tell you? All I know is last night they lost to the Wizards. And this is just a telling quote, or two quotes, that how much respect they have for their head coach. I'm talking about Miami Heat. Spoelstra said it was a worst loss. The worst loss they had, or whatever, something like that. And LeBron James says no big deal. We just lost. You lose to the worst team in the league. A team. I hate to say it, Black, who's only won one game. Now it's two games.
We up and rising, man. Yes, Mikhail, we had the magical unicorn that was in the stadium, known as Robert Griffin, the magical unicorn who blessed my Wiz with a win. So I appreciate him for just one night only.
And the thing about it, when the Knicks played the Charlotte Bobcats, they kept panning to Michael Jordan, but sitting next to Michael Jordan in the same booth was Cam Newton. So I don't know if some of that late giving it up and letting the opposition win, which permeates from Cam Newton a lot, permeated or floated down to the court, because there's no way, if you watch the game, that Charlotte should have lost that game. They did, but they shouldn't have lost the game. So it is what it is. So the Knicks are going to play the Heat minus Carmelo Anthony. And needless to say, because they lost to the Wizards, I'm looking, unfortunately, at a double-digit loss. And they're going to lay the wood on the Knicks because that's the next opponent after they lost to the Wizards. So that's what I have to say about that. And the fact is, I want to also talk, since I'm talking about the NBA, let's talk about this. The Black Mamba from the Lakers becomes the NBA's youngest to hit 30,000 points. 30,000 points is significant, but I'm going to ask you guys this. Because the volume of shots Kobe takes year in and year out, do you think it's significant or not? I mean, because he takes the majority of the shots from on the Lakers. So it's not like Chamberlain, who had a little over 31,000, or Kareem, who had 38,000, or Karl Malone, who had 36,000. The only one that really had the same, I guess, same amount of volume of shots, maybe close to Kobe, was Michael Jordan, and he had 32,000. So what do you think about Kobe Bryant reaching that milestone? Anybody want to jump? No, I mean, you know, I go to Black first. I go to McHale, and then Jeff last.
Well, I want you to picture Michaela Maroney right now, the leopard girl, and imagine that face as LeBron James. And that's all I have to say on that.
Oh my goodness! I think it's definitely a respectable milestone. Does not matter how many, you know, the volume, because if you have that type of volume, that means you have that kind of respect that you've garnered from your from the organization that you play for. So it is a very, very credible milestone, and I'm happy and I'm proud of Kobe. He had a wonderful career. He need to get on up out of there after next year.
Jeff?
Yeah, well, they're taking nothing away from Kobe's achievement, but unlike the other legends on that short list, he went straight from high school to the NBA. But, you know, so, you know, he had a few more young seasons, you know, to accumulate towards that goal. But believe me, to get that many points, you got to be somebody. So that's a high air up there.
All right. I just wanted to bring that up. And I'm going to stay with basketball because I wanted to touch on what McHale had touched on before. If the reports are true, the new NBA's New Orleans Hornets will soon be the New Orleans Pelicans, fulfilling new owner Tom Benson's wish of giving the team a name more connected to the city. Now, how connected is it? Other than the fact that the animal is Louisiana's state bird, and on its seal and flag, New Orleans' first professional sports franchise, a minor league baseball one, carried the name from the late 1880s into the 1950s, and the name was later resurrected to 1 year, 2 decades later. So, Tom Benson is thinking about changing the name of the New Orleans Hornets to the New Orleans Pelicans. Tell me, what kind of sense does that make?
Are you sure that owner wasn't out in Seattle, Washington last night at the Space Needle, putting some of that sticky icky in the air?
What can I tell you?
He went
for Pelicans. Are you serious? The Pelicans?
I'm dead serious.
Is this a professional basketball team?
Hey, what can I tell you? You know, the one that has Anthony Davis.
And here, I thought the Wizards was bad.
Hey, let me tell you something. The Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans.
That joint has no pizzazz to that name, Slim. I just can't see. You know who picking up that type of merchandise and wearing it. Yeah, I'm wearing the Pelicans now. You ain't up on this. You ain't up on this starter coat. I got the Pelicans. Nah, so I'm not feeling that. Not feeling that.
Only on this show can you hear about magical unicorns or Pelicans in the same night.
Yeah. Mikhail is absolutely right, because the nickname, the logo, the merchandise is so big. You want something that people, especially young people, are going to say, hey, I want that name on my jacket. I like those colors. I like that logo, et cetera, et cetera. That's big money, you know.
Big money. Big
exactly.
Money.
Exactly. You hit it. You hit it right on the head. And the thing is that you want to go way back. When I was a little kid, there was an NBA team called the New Orleans Jazz with Pistol Pete Maravich. And
they moved
to Utah, and they keep the name. But all due respect to Utah, they're not really known for jazz music over there.
No, they're not.
And that's one of the worst nicknames in all the sports. I mean, they should have changed that name when they first moved to Utah, become the Utah Stars or the Utah Utes or the Salts or whatever. The Utah
Collabs.
I don't know. Something. And,
the Utah Collabs.
Something.
Hey, Mikhail, can you imagine any of the youngers around the way? Hey, man, I'm about to go cop that Pelican fitted, man. That Pelican snapback, man.
No, sir.
The thing is, I mean, yeah, it's a New Orleans-related nickname, but in general, usually if you name your team after an animal, it's usually an aggressive animal. You know, if you're talking about a bird, an eagle, or a falcon, you know, or
right.
a hawk. Those are aggressive animals. Those are birds of prey. Not
right.
some, like, silly bird just that struts around and does nothing. I mean, that's why you don't see a team called the Turkeys, which a wild turkey is aggressive.
The Jazz
Turkeys. There's no Major League sports teams called the Turkeys or the Chickens or something like that, you know? You don't see that. You know, it's got to be – you got to have a certain – you know, aggressive kind of animal, like a hawk or a falcon, you know.
Yeah,
right.
I hear you.
But it is original. I'll give them that. It is original.
You hit that right on the head, though, sir.
You hit that right there. I mean, it's nothing aggressive about it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was like it was no testosterone in that name ever. Ever.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. Let's move on to leave out of basketball, because I want to go to college football. Okay. As you guys know, the rated 1 and 2 team, Notre Dame and Alabama, are going to be playing each other. One of those players from Notre Dame is going to be is nominated a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. He already won the Walter Camp Award, which is Monte Teo from Notre Dame, along with the two quarterbacks, one from Kansas State and the other one from Texas A&M, who happens to be a freshman. It's going to be awarded on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Those are the three top candidates. You guys have any idea, or I should say idea. You guys got any opinion on who you think or who should win the Heisman Trophy? I'll go to Jeff first, then McCown, and then Black.
It's a tough call because it's not clear-cut this year. I mean, some years it's clear-cut. You got a dominant team with a dominant player at either, you know, quarterback or running back. I think Johnny Football's got a shot. I mean, I know he's a freshman, but maybe because he's a redshirt freshman, that might swing him a few votes, and he could win if it's a tight three-way race. And I'll tell you, they got the college award show tonight where they give out a bunch of the other awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I think it's one of the few things they do right in college football. I mean, sometimes college football, they're successful despite themselves, you know. But
right.
These college football awards, the thing I like is, you know, they got the Thorpe Award for the best defensive back, and then they got the Butkus Award for the best linebacker. And I'm
right.
thinking to myself, they should do that for the NFL. You know, they really should. Because, you know, if you play a lot of positions, you don't have a shot for MVP. But every corner and every safety has a shot at the Thorpe Award. You know, that's a great idea.
Right. Macau?
I missed the question because my phone had dropped, sir. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I had asked. Out of the three finalists, the quarterback from Texas A&M, the quarterback from Kansas State, and the linebacker from Notre Dame, what opinion, give me your opinion on who you think should win it or who you think is going to win it.
Ooh, it's a tough one this year. It's no clear cut. One that I could just, you know, say, yeah, they're gonna swing that way. I have no idea. He stumped me on this one. The little youngin, Johnny Football, does seem like he may swing it, but I don't know.
Okay. Black, I saved you for last because you're the college football guy.
Oh man, this is. People are saying this is close, but it shouldn't be close. Johnny Football, I mean, you broke Vic's record. I think broke Cam Newton's rushing record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy comes in, I mean, just happens to beat the number one team in the country at the time, Alabama. Texas A&M is fresh to the SEC conference. First year play. This guy's played phenomenal all season. You got to give it to Johnny Football.
Okay. Just because he's a freshman, even if he's a redshirt freshman.
I don't care about his freshman. Look at his numbers. If you're near a computer, look at his numbers. Look what he did this season.
Okay.
Stepping fresh into the SEC.
Okay. I'm just getting an opinion here. I think he's a clear-cut favorite, a clear-cut winner, but
Klein, no, I don't like Klein from Kansas State. Teo, he's good, but you know, I really don't root for Notre Dame guys to get that, especially this guy.
Okay.
Just look at Manziel's stats, going fresh into the SEC and see what the young boy is about, man. He deserves his hats. I don't care about freshman or sophomore rules. He deserves his hats.
Okay. All right. Okay. I just wanted to ask you about that. I know they're 10-point underdogs, talking about Notre Dame. I think it's about 10 points, give or take, against Alabama. But that's for another show. We got time to talk about that. I want to talk about deja vu all over again. That's going to take place this Saturday. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about... Manny Pacquiao against Juan Manuel Marquez, fighting for the fourth time Saturday.
Yeah.
Anybody have any opinions, or is this even worth talking about, Pacquiao Manuel Marquez for the fourth time?
It's worth talking about if it was Pacquiao versus Timothy Bradley. It's worth talking about if it was Pacquiao Mayweather. It's worth talking about if it was Pacquiao and my man Canelo Alvarez. But it's not, so I'm not talking.
Talk to me, Macau. Talk to me. Are you just telling you can't wait to jump on this one?
Nah, you know what, man? This joint, this is a straight... publicity stunt, or as my man Black
puts it, it's straight propaganda.
Propaganda
straight
at its finest.
Propaganda. And you know what? this fight is for all the WWF lovers and mixed martial arts lovers. It's for all of you guys. This is what you want. You want hype. You want hoopla. You want propaganda. You know, you don't want the real. Because this is not real. Four times, it's just crazy for them to fight the fourth time. For what? For what? For what? I mean, for real, in my eyes, Manuel won all three of them fights. All three of them. So it's really, you know, and they stole each and every one of them. So what make me think they're not going to steal it again?
Mm.
So, you know, that's all I got to say on it.
Okay. Well, speaking of Mayweather, his close advisors, one of them, Leonard Ellerbe, told ESPN on Wednesday that Mayweather plans to fight twice in 2013, both on Mexican holiday weekends that typically are target dates for major fights. This is a quote from Ellerbe. Floyd Mayweather has a plethora of options. Who doesn't want to fight Floyd Money Mayweather and make the most money they ever made in their career? You hit the lottery once you become a Floyd Mayweather opponent. End quote. He's fighting twice. Once on the first date being May 4th, Cinco de Mayweather, and the second date, yeah, and the second date being September 14th. Now I'm not too sure about September 14th, but May 5th, I think May 5th is the Cinco de Mayo, but May 4th is Cinco de Mayo, part of Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Right.
And I'm not too sure what September 14th in the Mexican holiday is. So he plans to fight.
What a great setup if he can get Saul Canelo Alvarez. Mexico.
Oh, my goodness.
In
that
Mexico
was
on
ridiculous.
Cinco de Mayo. You talking about numbers? Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. That is not propaganda. Maybe a little bit of braggadocio, but it is not propaganda. It is not.
Well, I think that's the a keen marketing ploy to be able to do it on those particular days, and more than likely, you guys are right. He's probably going to get some Mexican, and I shouldn't say some Mexican, but some Hispanic, probably somebody of the Mexican persuasion to fight on those weekends to really hype it up. You guys pointed out one guy. Is
yeah,
there anybody
Canelo.
Else? Excuse me?
Yeah, Canelo is one. What you think about Danny Garcia, Black?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, but I don't know if he's Mexican. Is he Mexican?
No, he's Puerto Rican.
He's
Puerto Rican. Yeah, he's Puerto Rican, but he's from Philly. But he more New Rican than he is Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I'd like to see that matchup too, though. That'd be a good matchup too.
Yeah, it'd be a good fight. Either one. I'd rather see Canelo. I'd rather see him fight Canelo because that dude. He just, he's bigger, he's got a lot of power, you know what I'm saying? He got a little bit of skills, but he's a little bit stationary, so I think that would leave him to be exposed to Mayweather, but, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Speaking of that, in this article that I'm reading, it did say the most likely opponents for Mayweather are junior middleweight titleist and Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez and interim welterweight titleist Robert Guerrero, who is
Robert Guerrero,
who is technically Mayweather's mandatory challenger and has been calling him out.
Who is Guerrero? I know that name.
Robert Guerrero.
Who did he just fight?
The interim Guerrero.
Was he the one that just knocked out? What's the name's bro? A little boy? No, that's middleweight.
He just beat Andre Berto.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Because Berto, he beat the brakes off Berto.
Hey, that could be a good fight as well.
He
thrashed Berto.
Berto
was looking like a Chinese man after that fight.
You know, I saw a picture of Berto after that fight. I didn't actually was able to see the fight, but I saw a picture of Berto, and I couldn't believe it was Berto because his eyes. You're exactly right, Black. He looked like he had his hands tied behind his back and was just used as a punching bag on his head.
My man watched the fight too. He said he's never seen anybody change from one person to another. He came in the ring as Andre Berto, and he left the ring as Nate Robinson.
He sure did. He sure did. But you know what? Remembering back to that fight, the only thing that kept Berto in that fight was, you know, his ability to box, and he was catching Guerrero with a lot of shots, but Guerrero just would not fall. So
yeah, he got one of Guerrero's ass too in that one. So
yeah, so
he did swear one of them up.
Yeah. So if Guerrero gets in the ring with Mayweather, I don't see it being that bad for Mayweather, but it's going to be a good fight. Mayweather should take him out, depending on how much rust he got, because you know it's been a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before end the show, we got about 3 minutes in the show. I'm sure glad he's on the show because I have to ask him. What possessed him or what got into him last week on Friday on the No Chaser show? Because it was like open season on Mac, seemed like. And Macau seemed like he had the shotgun looking for him. I mean, Macau, I gotta ask you. I'm glad you on the show because I got to ask you. What in the world got into you? You sound like a man possessed last Friday.
Which part? Because they was getting on my nerves.
Let me put it this way.
What I was saying.
From the giddy up, from the start, you was on. And I'm just saying, before you came on the show, what did you do? Because I was stunned. I was speechless. I'm listening to the show from the very start. I'm saying, oh my God, wow. I'm saying, what got into him? Somebody pissed you off before you got on the show? Tell him to me.
Nah, ain't nobody pissed me off. That was all the build up, Slim. I hadn't talked to him, you know, after, you know, November 4th. And then, you know, my skins have won. You know,
right.
And like I said, my skins are red and my president's black. So, you know, I had to get him. I had to get him. That's all that was.
Okay.
And then as the conversation went on, they just kept twisting up some of the things I was saying. I was like, hold up, man.
Yeah, I caught whiff of that. I saw that. Well, I shouldn't see it. I heard that. And I'm like... I'm telling you, I listened to the show from front to back, and I'm like, I was speechless. All I could say is, damn. I said, you know, what in the world? That show is tip, way better than I've ever had any show, because that was, like, wide open.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got about 45 seconds left in the show. I want to thank you guys for coming on here. And before I close the show out, I want you guys to say your parting shots. So I'll go to Macau, I'll go to Jeff, and then I'll go to Black, and then we're out of here.
I just want to say right here from the Magical Unicorn Center, hail to the Redskins. That's all I got.
All right. Jeff?
Really don't have enough time to
speak enough about it, but I'm going to mention too quickly the tragedy in Kansas City. And, you know, it wouldn't make sense to say if you think you're capable of something like that, ask for help, because if you're that far gone, you're not going to ask for help. But you got to, if you see a friend who's having trouble, be a friend, be a real friend, and try to encourage them to get help. And I'll tell you, there was a guy who was having trouble, nothing like what happened in Kansas City, but Warwick Dunn was having a lot of problems, and his friends, and they were good friends, they encouraged him to get professional help, and he did, and now he encourages other people to do the same. And anybody who knows, Warwick Dunn suffered a great tragedy in his life when he was a teenager. His mother was murdered, and you know, there's something like that, you know, you just don't get over real quick, you know. And years later, he was having a lot of problems. And I give his friends a lot of credit, because a lot of guys, especially ball players, you know, your friends, that, you know, all they care about is just, you know, you picking up the check in the club and whatever. But that's what, you know, we got to look out for each other, you know.
Okay. Black?
Well, I wish I had the magical unicorn on my fantasy football team. Unfortunately, all good things come to an end. My money chase run is over. Congratulations, Jeff, on your final win to put me out. Congratulations, Master, on making it through to the playoff round. I'm just in a state of mourning right now. Basketball is over. The Wizards are 2-14. I just don't know what to do right now.
Wow. All I can say is this, okay? Tune in tomorrow. I don't know what kind of show we're going to have tomorrow. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be the No Chaser. I'll be the co-host. Mac Williams will be the host. Anything and everything can happen on that show.
Man, y'all are so volatile on that show. I'm finna to call the guy from Syria to be on that show tomorrow with you guys.
I'm telling you, people, for whoever's still listening, If you have a topic you want to cover and you want to vent, this is the show for you. You can jump on there and you can vent and you'll be vented on. I guarantee it.
And you'll get a nice long story from Mac about how he grew up. Yeah. You'll get that.
And I have a special treat for you guys. I think it's going to be this week, Saturday, and next Saturday. I'll be running the FSP show.
What?
Vic will not be available.
There so
wow.
There
one
is a god.
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be me and whoever on the FSP show. And then 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time would be the master plan. For those of you that are in the playoffs, or I can give you, I can help you, I can try to help you, let me put it that way, succeed in your playoff matchup. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also on Wednesday, we have the Grown Soul and Real Talk. And that's hosted by Mr. McCall. And what time is that? 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30 every Wednesday, Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. With that being said, I've talked long enough. I'm going to sit down and relax and finish watching this game. It's been a pleasure, you guys. But I hate to say it, but we're out of here.
Peace.
Yeah. Mr. Anker, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, log on.